18-10, forested landscape buffer.
This is an ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Article 1 and 3, Sections 99-5 and 99-16 of the Code of Sussex County relating to forested and or landscaped buffers. I would note that we have one letter in support of the application. Let me get to that one. That it's from Brian Clint, that he would like to see much larger buffers and setbacks. It is understanding that the 20-foot buffer, it's currently 20 feet. He would like to see 100 or 200 feet. These developers are developing massive properties that used to be farm fields and were open and vegetation with deer and foxes and wild turkey and groundhogs. Now they cram as many units as possible to get as much money as possible. So again, they would like to see some larger buffers than currently provided. We also have a letter from the Home Builders Association thanking you for the opportunity to speak, that given the significant impact the housing industry has on the local economy, they're asking for additional time for stakeholder engagement prior to voting to approve this ordinance. They have some concerns. They would like consideration given to use on the adjacent parcels. Required buffer should consider use zoning of adjacent properties, like on adjacent parcels similar in densities, lot size, should not require significant buffering. Consideration given to the size of the parcel. Proposed increase in required buffer will have a significant impact on smaller sites. This may in fact render some sites virtually undevelopable. They're concerned about that it could be a taking. They would like consideration given to the alternative design scenarios. If the desire is to provide for a screening for a site, allow for the use of berms within smaller buffers to enhance screening. The desire is to provide contiguous forested areas or wildlife walking areas. Consideration should be given to wooded or natural areas preserved within the internal section of the code, and they're hoping those would be considered. They have significant increase in cost for required buffering plantings will increase the cost to the consumer, significant increase to cost to the HOA for maintaining the buffer areas, and then they appreciate Councilman Burton's effort that in placing the drafting the ordinance, and hopefully these considerations can be taken into consideration. We also have another letter from Nick Hammonds that he's expressing his opposition to the proposed amendment for the following reasons. He believes it's a taking of land without compensation. Currently, the developer sets aside an additional 2,000 square feet of land to plant 10 trees or more for every 100 feet of boundary in a subdivision. I'm going to just note that it's actually over 15 feet that is actually required without relaxing of open space requirements. This directly and negatively impacts land values by decreasing developable acreage and increasing cost to the end user, that it's an adverse impact on land plans. Adding 20 feet of trees along a subdivision line will squeeze land plans and in many cases force developers to sacrifice quality layouts in favor of recovering density, i.e. creation of grid lots versus those that back to open space to support land prices. Not only does this negatively impact land views, but it may become detriment to homeowners. Disputes caused by ponding along the back property lines and governing their associations. It could also reduction of in noticeable landscaping in other areas. At $200 to $400 per tree, the cost to the developer increased $2,000 to $4,000 for every 100 feet of subdivision boundary plus cost to property water the trees through irrigation or other means, that this could add up quickly. Increase to ongoing maintenance cost to associations. The landscaping maintenance costs are generally the largest and most burdensome cost to the homeowners association. Adding trees will certainly impact that cost, causing increased association dues. And decrease in affordability due to these factors, the proposed amendments would result in a higher finished home price to consumers, particularly in the eastern Sussex, where affordability continues to be a challenge. So he would recommend changes to the ordinance. We also have a letter from Robert Horsey on behalf of Horsey Family that as a The family owns a substantial amount of land and is strongly opposed to the ordinance. They believe it is a taking without compensation. And as a member of the Delaware Stormwater Regulatory Advisory Committee, believe the proposed ordinance is not the answer to protecting and cleaning our waterways. With the new stormwater regulations coming out next year, with more regional approaches in funding the economical and beneficial practices of reducing nitrogen, phosphorus is how we protect our waterways, and funding more crops is more cover crop programs is a way. So that, again, they are in opposition. We also have a letter from Pannoni, from Mark Davidson, and he has concerns with health. The aspects of the ordinance should have beneficial or detrimental effects on occupants and users, that he fails to see where an additional 20 feet is beneficial, valuable, useful, or worthwhile when addressing environmental concerns if the planting and retainage of existing vegetation remains the same as defined in the existing ordinance. The current ordinance outlines a real aggressive planting schedule, so he has concerns with that. He has concerns with safety. The additional 20 feet to 40 feet will entice users to want to use the buffer personally, especially if the part is the minimum required open space program, thus permitting the casual user walking along the rear lots where families enjoy the privacy and recreational in the back of their homes without having to interact with the intrusion from the owners within the community and the public. A hostile, argumentative meeting or situation between opposing parties could be encountered that would create an accidental injury to the users or parties. Furthermore, an increased buffer around the entire perimeter of the property may become a safety challenge to maintain, given its location behind the lots within the subdivision, creating a practical difficulty when it comes to maintenance and health and survival and storm cleanup. And they also has concerns about welfare. He fails to see where every lot owner will have equal access to the landscape buffer and how the additional 20 feet will provide a positive emotional response from the owner of the subdivision where the buffer is along the outside of the boundary of the subdivision, and could it take away from other open space planning within the subdivision, that they should endorse an equal open space area within the subdivision equal to the area of the additional 20 foot. So he has concerns about increasing the buffer, and I believe that is all I have in opposition and support of the application.
Okay. So basically, just a quick overview on it. We currently have in our code a 20-foot forested and/or landscape buffer requirement around every subdivision. That's been in effect for
10 years.
Yeah, 10 years or more, I would say. So what this does, there's a lot, particularly for our newer members of the commission. You know, it's four pages of ordinance, but by state law, what we have to do is essentially restate the code, and any changes that we make, we've got to show in deletions what we're taking out, in underlined or in italics, anything we're putting in. So you can see on this, there's a whole lot of stuff that's in regular text. That's what's currently in our code. So it's just it takes not a lot of time to go over the changes. It takes it from 20 to 40 feet. Was introduced at council, it was, because it was 20 feet wide, every 100 feet of buffer there had to be 15 trees. That's increased to 25 trees. I think the thought on that being you're going from 20 feet wide to 40 feet wide, so there should be more plantings, not just what was existing spread out into more space. Then the one thing that it does change, and it's actually in 99.5D, I know that Mr. Burton, who introduced this, and I can't speak for other members of council because they haven't had their hearing yet, they wanted a greater opportunity to maintain existing vegetation whenever possible. And that wasn't really spelled out that well in 99.5 or in the code before. So it kind of gives a developer an opt-out if there's a hedgerow or an existing vegetation. If a developer comes in and says, look, you know, rather than comply with 25 trees every 100 feet, we've got this hedgerow. If we show an existing vegetation plan outlining that, the commission could look favorably on keeping that versus, you know, more the letter of the law, 25 trees you got to plant every 100 feet. You know, so it tries to maintain when possible as existing, that existing vegetation or hedgerows or whatever it may be, rather than, honestly, what we see now in a 20-foot wide buffer. You know, it's easier just to clear it out and plant probably than it is to try to maintain anything. And even if you tried to maintain it 20 feet, I think You know, it may be that it gets grubbed out anyway and it would die no matter what under those circumstances. So really that's the nature of it. It's 20 to 40 feet and gives a developer an option to utilize existing vegetation. So.
Okay.
Comes down to whether you like 20 feet or whether you like 40 feet.
At the end of the day, that's pretty much it. Yeah. It's 20 to 40. Commissioners, anyone want to kick off some discussion?
You need to open it up to the public, too, so don't forget.
Or shall we just go directly to public testimony? Anybody have anything they want to say before we hear from the public?
No,
I'm good.
Okay. All right, there's anyone here that has an interest in Ordinance 18-10 that would like to speak? For or against, it doesn't matter. Okay, come on up. Just tell us which it is. Or maybe you're not either one.
My name is Mark Moore. I'm with the Home Builders Association of Delaware. Okay. So we sent in that letter that Janelle summarized for us.
Right.
Thank you. So yeah, we're in opposition to the current ordinance. You know, we think that, you know, we've been in discussion with Councilman Burton a little bit. We just think that the ordinance needs some more time. You know, we feel that it's too simplified for us. You know, we represent developers, builders,
right.
You know, everyone else that's related to the industry. So, you know, we would just like, you know, to kind of take some more time for the stakeholders to speak with the councilman or whoever else might like to, you know, participate in those conversations. Because we do feel that in many ways it limits developers and to the point that Nick Hammond's made in his letter, it kind of limits you in the design of the communities. So I think a lot of the spirit of this ordinance is to try to maintain the beauty of our county. I mean, I'm from Lewis and have lived here my whole life, so I understand the spirit of this ordinance. But I think an unintended consequence is if we require a larger buffer on the perimeter, we may be getting rid of some, you know, some old growth forests, you know, and sacrificing nature in that way to get this perimeter buffer around there. You know, I think that there's probably a lot of, you know, a lot of constituents of the council that are speaking for this. I mean, you know, there's obviously, we all know residents that have been in their houses for 20, 30 years and never thought that there would be a development behind theirs, and now there is. So, you know, that's one thing to try to kind of appease those types of people. But we just, you know, we feel like there's better ways we can do this through possibly buffer averaging. You know, maybe you have a minimum buffer, but it might be, you know, your average may have to be a certain amount. We just think there's some other more creative ways that we can get this accomplished and reach the goal of maintaining the charm and preserving nature and all the other things that are, I think, the goal of this ordinance.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, who's next? Who else would like to share their thoughts with us this evening? Yes, ma'am. Please come up.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Michaelina Hayes. I am a civil engineer in the state, so I do a lot of work for the land developers.
Okay.
My thoughts are similar to what was just expressed. I just want to present some ideas that may be helpful.
Good.
That could still go towards the same the goal. If we stayed with a 20-foot buffer, but then maybe imposed a 20-foot easement that could not be built upon adjacent to that buffer in the rear of the lots, so that there is no building that would be going on within the 40-foot perimeter, that may be something that could kind of assist in that. It wouldn't necessarily require plantings within it. But I know that overall there's a lot of land development plans that have accounted for you know, this 20-foot buffer from their lot lines, and there's lots that aren't in place that haven't come to council yet, and it would drastically reduce the number of lots that would be feasible as you work inward and work with the roadway and the geometry for the site to have that allotted for with the lot width and depth that are there. So I think that, you know, more consideration in that regard for the buffer would be prudent and to give the community more time to be able to comment on it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, who's next? Anyone else? Yes, Mr. Fuquay. Testifying as a private citizen.
I wasn't here for your earlier comments, and I'm not here on behalf of anyone other than my own curiosity.
Okay.
Because I deal with this. I haven't heard an explanation of why, when you pass a law, normally there's a reason. And okay. I'm just curious what the reason for this is.
I'm glad you asked that question. Because that's the question that was going through my mind. Is
yep.
two things. Number one, why are we doing this? But the broader question to me is, what are we trying to achieve? Okay, what are we trying to achieve? And that was something I was hoping to discuss with my fellow commissioners here in a few minutes, but we can talk about it right now.
And that's the question I had. Like I said, if there's a law, normally you're trying to address something. And I understand we're trying to double the thing, but that's not an answer. That's just a fact.
Well, I think, I would suspect that the reason this is being done is that there are those who feel that there just needs to be more distance between neighbors, between neighboring developments and so on. My question is, though, is it really a question of distance? Or are there other alternatives? Because sometimes I wonder if it's I don't want to see my neighbor, you're not going to be able to get far enough away to not be able to see them.
Well, within your development, you live with your neighbors, but it almost seems to be creating a tribal type system where they live in that development and we live in this development, and you know, we got to keep some distance because, you know, we trap and hunt in different areas or so. I don't know. But the other thing is, and again, I was just trying to think this through logically.
Tribalism is definitely making a resurgence, but that's for another whole other venue.
What I see from the work I do, there's a piece of property, and the first thing is, of course, it has its own limitations based on different things. But aside from that, people are always, particularly with AR, you're always going to try to get the maximum density you're permitted, which just makes logical sense.
People do.
There's minimum open space you have to have by law. You got to have open space. And then there's stormwater and things of that nature. Now, what I'm seeing happening here with this would be, since I'm increasing these buffers, that open space has got to come from somewhere. And it's going to come from interior open spaces. Design-wise, it's going to take open space out of the interior and put it on the additional buffers.
But I think that's an appropriate consideration, though, because if that's where we want the space to be, if we're trying to create space, if you were able to trade the perimeter buffer for a reduced amount of open space inside, then does that take care of the issue of this? You know, there are those who feel like this is a taking, or that the real motive here is to simply reduce the density, reduce the number of lots you can get, and so on. Which we don't know what, you know, if that's a motivation or not. But I'm saying if it is, and that's one thing. But if that's not a factor, then that would be one way to balance it out. If there was really some good reason and need for this 40-foot perimeter.
But often from what I see from the people that actually design this, one of the things they do try to accomplish is, if they can, and I think the commission is very in favor of this, is they like to show that, you know, every lot or the vast majority of the lots actually back up to open space, you know, because it makes for a better design subdivision. And I'm afraid that's what you'll lose if you just start, you know, bulking up the boundaries. But I, again, my curiosity is just why is this being proposed? Thank you.
So I can answer some of that. Obviously, that's going to have to come from council. They're the ones that have introduced it.
So it
says in one of the whereas clauses, well, let me back up. I think there was, in the discussions that have occurred for some time now, even in council with the comp plan, is we've seen some, this is not me saying this, I'm saying what, paraphrasing what council says. You know, we've seen some 20-foot buffers in place, and 20 feet's from here to probably where Jamie's sitting, you know? So I think there's a question of whether, realistically, what does that do, you know? I mean, visually, that's not that much space around a perimeter. And so, you know, like what was put in the whereas clause, it provides additional contiguous open space along the perimeter of the subdivisions, improving the visual landscape of the county. So that, I think that's, Mr. Wheatley, kind of to your point, you know, I suppose council's looking at it, well, who's the larger audience here that we're trying to, protect's not the right word, but address,
accommodate,
you know? Yeah,
right.
Accommodate. So is it more important to accommodate the new lots and whether they back up to existing open space, or Sussex County as a whole by creating more visual open space around the perimeters of subdivisions, you know? And that's a question for you all in council, but that comes from.
Right, and my suggestion is if that's where we want the open space around the perimeter, then put it around the perimeter, but you would have to relax whatever, that would have to count as open space.
It does now.
Yeah,
so
it count as open space.
Where you get into it is, and I think this is what Mr. Fuqua and Mr. Mormay alluded to, it comes into play certainly on the size of the parcel you're dealing with. I mean, because, you know, that's going to make an impact. But it really comes into play probably more, I'm guessing, if you're doing a what I'll call a standard 3/4 acre lot subdivision, because then geometrically you're dealing with issues where you've got so much space and you got lots and streets and stormwater,
right,
and you got to fit it all in there. But with cluster subdivisions, AR cluster subdivisions and clusters in the environmentally sensitive developing area, you get to use open space to count towards your density. So, you know, you're not losing a lot, and you're probably, because the lots have shrunk to 7,500 square feet in most cases, like the one we saw today,
right,
you can still fit the number of lots in. You've lost that geometry issue that you have with the buffers.
And
you still get to count the open space in that situation.
Making sure I understand how it works, you have today you have a 20-foot buffer. Then you have your rear lot line.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
And then you have, what's the backyard, 20 feet?
10 feet or 20 feet, depending on the zoning.
Yeah.
Okay, 10 or 20 before you can have any structure.
Yeah.
Right. So if you had two developments adjacent to each other, you would have 20 feet on the other side and 10 feet before you had any structure. So you would have 60 feet between houses.
Well, not necessarily, because you can put accessory structures up to 5 feet.
To 5 feet.
Okay.
So the houses would be what you were talking about, but sheds,
well,
accessory structures.
I guess what I'm getting at is, what are we trying to accomplish by having, you know, by making the buffer bigger? I mean, I think that some, this is, of course, this is much bigger discussion about other kinds of buffers, but, you know, I would like there to be some opportunity for design ingenuity. I'd like there to be some opportunity for folks to be creative, but until we understand what we want this buffer to do, that's going to be hard to do. I mean, if it's just, you just want to put space between people, then I'd like to know the answer to that. Because if it's because you don't want to see them, or maybe not being able to see them is something that would be a mitigating thing. You know, if you put up a fence or something, if you don't want to be able to see one, if you're looking for privacy, you know.
Yeah, I heard somebody say along the line, and I guess it'll come out, you know, probably maybe the discussion at council, but, you know, it creates, you know, Sussex County currently, you know, as we've heard through the comp plan, as an agricultural community, you know, county,
right,
first and foremost. And there's some concern that, you know, it's visually shifting from that to housing, and this would be one way to mitigate that, you know, so that you visually have some separation between the developments. You know, you don't necessarily, to your point, see the development. You've got 40 feet, and again, this, you know, this is something for you all to decide whether you agree with or not, but does 20 feet, if that's the goal you want to accomplish, does 20 feet do that, which is what we have in our code,
right,
versus does 40 feet do that better than what we have in our code, you know, so.
but maybe 80 feet would be even better. Again, it goes back to me, like, what is the purpose of it? And that's the only thing. I don't have a position for or against it. I have no policy position on this. I just don't understand what the reason is, and that was the question I'm asking.
And I'll just respond to that, and, you know, and I don't know whether 40 feet's a number, you know, 80 feet, whatever, but, you know, our zoning code has numbers all over the place. We've got 42-foot heights. What's the reason for that? We've got a 15-foot side yard setback or rear yard, you know, 60 off the front and I-1, you know. So, you know, a lot of what the county does in zoning was based on numbers. I don't, you know, so. But, I mean, his point makes sense.
And I think the you know, as I said, some design ingenuity. Why we don't, help me understand this, we don't allow a berm now? You allowed to put a berm in a, I mean.
Yeah, we've had that, particularly on, because it talks about currently.
Because somebody mentioned that if you could do a berm. Well, I thought you could do a berm.
Yeah, because we've had that, and there's some.
There are sections that do allow that, but the forested landscape buffer is specific that there's 15 trees for every 100 feet, and the makeup of those trees.
Yeah, because it talks about the roadway frontage, and we've seen this. Okay. You can have fences, walls, berms, landscape plantings, shrubs, ornamental grasses, trees, multimodal paths required by DLDOT. So you can do, you know, you get a little bit more flexibility on the front side.
Your berm would still have to be vegetated somehow.
Yeah.
The berm's actually in the section about having transition from higher density residential to existing, and you can put in a buffer, a berm, or a fence.
Right, that would be in the AR1 cluster.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks. Anyone else like to speak? Yeah, here we go.
I wasn't going to change my mind. Good evening, Ring Lardner, principal and professional engineer with the firm Davis, Bone & Friedel. We recently adopted new Sussex County road design standards to kind of help break up the monotony of subdivisions where it had to be a 50-foot right-of-way with certain radii. With the buffers we're imposing, we're kind of having the same thing where it's a mandated 40-foot buffer all the way around the subdivision, include the front yard, the street. With DLDOT now, we give up, property owners give up right-of-way. The DLDOT give up shared use past now another 40-foot, so you continue to encroach it. I do know the waiver policy, I believe, is still in the code, but doesn't say whether the waiver could go down to 20-foot, 0-foot. At the same time, stormwater regulations have gotten much more stringent than in years past with how we treat stormwater. The buffers are not allowed to be used for stormwater, so you have all these rear yards draining back towards the buffer. Depending on how the water goes off, we need to capture that stormwater. So in order to do that without putting stormwater on lots, you then would need an additional edge of land to capture stormwater either through swale or a pipe. So that 40-foot could become another 20-foot, so now you're 60-foot off the property line if we just accept the 40-foot. So there's a whole bunch of things going to it besides just the 40-foot buffer that I think we should consider. And I agree with the position of the stakeholders, the home builders, the engineers, designers could come down and figure out a way to do this. And it's probably not one size fits all, as we've learned, because not all projects are the same. But I think there's a lot more things to go into this than just the 40-foot buffer. And that's all I wanted to say this evening.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else on the commission have anything they want to throw out there?
I would just say on this one, too, just for the benefit of the commission, since it's an ordinance change and it's significant enough, probably ought to defer when we get to that.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, I'm not ready. I can tell you I'm not ready.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure what we want to do yet. So. And just so you, the newer commissioners, know that we can recommend that it be approved. We can recommend that it be denied. We can recommend that it be modified, that it be changed, that we can recommend that there be a workshop. You know, we have some latitude. We have to give them some kind of recommendation, but it doesn't have to be just yes or no.
I think a workshop is a good idea because I think there's a lot of creative uses that we could probably entertain.
Okay, well, we'll take that under advisement when we put it back on the agenda. Anyone else have any other questions? Last call out there. Anybody else want to talk about the buffers? All right, then. We'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. All right, that concludes our public hearings for the evening. Let's moving on to other business.